Texas Business Minds, presented by the Business Journals of Texas. Brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping companies build a stronger, safer Texas. And by Independent Financial, banking for business, banking for life. In this episode, Houston Business Journal Managing Editor Jonathan Adams explores the challenging banking environment with Agility Bank founder and CEO Lauren Sparks.
So Lauren, how are you doing?
I'm fine. Thanks, Jonathan.
Of course. Kind of start off a little bit simple, just so people can get to know you. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, let's see. I guess a 40-year banker, community banker, and located in Houston, Texas, and currently the founder and CEO of Agility Bank here in the market. We're just celebrated our one-year anniversary this month.
What have been some kind of like big wins for your 1 year so far?
Well, I would say getting to the point of opening the bank and then and then being here a year. We founded the bank during COVID, so doing a whole organizational process for a financial institution was a challenge. Raising the capital to open the bank during COVID, those were all big challenges. But then opening the door for what people say is potentially a recession has been a challenge. But things are coming together. We're finally getting our feet under us, and I think as we hit our year mark, we felt like, okay, we've done everything once now, just about everything once, and we're getting it down. So we're in good shape.
Yeah. So why did you want to start a bank in the first place?
It's a good question. But the point about building this bank was having a bank that's, we are a different kind of a bank. We're the first community bank chartered by our regulator in 15 years. So we're part of a new wave of community banks that are coming into the market to give people choices. But we are primarily owned and led by women, which is a big differentiator for us. And so we have a special federal designation as a minority depository institution. We are one of very few banks in the United States that are run and led by women. And while that doesn't sound like a big thing, if you think about it, you look around you, every other bank is primarily owned and led by men. So there's just a small number of us, and it's really about putting men and women at the table. So we're not an exclusive kind of a bank. We're an inclusive approach. It's just that women are in charge.
Why would you say that was important for you to have a bank like this?
Well, I think, you know, I'm a business owner myself, so community banking is near and dear to my heart. I've been in community banking my whole life, and I realize how important it is for small business, and small business is such a huge component about what happens in our economy, whether it's a little tiny town in Texas or whether it's a big city like Houston. And so that fabric of the economy is huge. And that fabric of the economy just doesn't get the same attention and care from larger financial institutions because they can't do that. And that makes sense. So community banks really are the feeder and the support for a whole segment of the economy that is vital to us every day. And so I'm passionate about community banks and what they do. But then there's me as a business owner saying, boy, oh boy, we just need some community banks that hear where banking is going and understand that women need to be at the table and understand that technology is very important for business owners. That if I want a community bank in the future, I have to change and adapt and be relevant. And so that's what we set about building at Agility, was really a bank that's relevant for the future and does what community banks have always done well, which is relationships, but put that with technology. So that's been just a, I kept thinking, frankly, Jonathan, I wish somebody would do this and nobody was doing it. So I guess I raised my hand.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's pretty much the way to do it. I know my boss is always saying things like, yeah, if you want to get it started, you just got to do it then. You can't just wait around for someone else to do it. So one of the other questions I had was, I noticed that your staff is quite diverse, and I wondered why diversity is important to you as a business leader.
It really, again, it's about bringing different people to the table. And when you do that, you get different results. So if anything, the whole process of organizing and starting the bank made me realize that at the highest levels, financial institutions and control of financial institutions rests in just one type of person. And that's white men. And there's nothing wrong with that. White men. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but that creates a lack of perspective in where things need to go. And so for us, it was not only bringing women to the table, but when you bring women to the table, we have a different perspective. And there's even actually data and studies around how women are more inclusive and collaborative in their management style and their even how they build executive teams. And so this sort of just happened organically, and we celebrate it.
What are some of the other things that make Agility Bank unique to the Houston market?
Well, I think it's our willingness to be able to pivot. And that's part of what we've built in our DNA is being a different kind of bank. You always think of banks as solid and stable and unfortunately sometimes unchanging. And for us, even with the name about being agile, being able to adapt and pivot to what our clients need in a changing world. And if there's anything we've seen since we started the bank or even started talking about the bank, it's a changing world. And that things need to be always in a state of what's the next step and what do I need to do next? And especially in financial services, how do I be in the right channel at the right place for my clients? Because where do they need me? As opposed to the old paradigm for a bank was, here I am, I'm on the corner, come see me. And for us, it's a different experience. And I think part of it is because most of us are entrepreneurs. We're primarily a business bank focus. Most of us are entrepreneurs or we've been married to them or raised by them or related to them. And so we have a different sense of what the relationship with the bank should be. It's more of a partnership and less of a here's the bank, come see me kind of an attitude.
And so you kind of touched upon challenges, you know, starting the bank a moment ago, but can you kind of elaborate on them? How did you overcome some of those challenges?
Well, being as we are the first women-led, women-owned minority depository institution that decided we wanted to be that from the very point of ignition, we had to navigate rules and guidelines that have been in place for financial institutions for hundreds of years that don't necessarily apply to us. So in many cases, we had to be trailblazers. And I also tell you that in the regulatory framework, we were able to do that. We navigated that. That's my background. So we got there. What the other challenges are that even just from a shareholder standpoint, nobody had ever invited certain segments of the community to be a shareholder in a bank. So we had to do education and be welcoming to people so that they would be part of building a bank that would be theirs. So that was a challenge, education, bringing women into investing in banks, which isn't a primary source of investment. Women don't normally invest in banks. So there was education around that. I mean, there are lots of challenges about changing the mindset and exposing people to a different world of possibilities. So those are all interesting challenges, even from a talent standpoint. And everybody's been struggling with talent. I'm sure everybody you talk to talks about talent and resources being a struggle. But it's the same here, because for women who've gotten to a certain level in their professional careers in financial services, they've worked really hard to get there. And so for them to think about joining another organization or to take a second chapter in their life has been a struggle. So resources have been a struggle.
Absolutely. And so how did you find capital to, you know, get Agility Bank going?
Well, that's such a good story. We have a great board. We have a fantastic board that's primarily women and a lot of founders who came to the table who said, we believe in what you're talking about, Lauren, and we think this should happen. So none of this would have happened without our founding members who put their money up before we knew whether we'd really be a bank, and our board who is continuing to help us lead forward. But the part about raising capital was something I wasn't prepared for. For me, primarily, people said, oh, no, you hire a firm and they help you do that. Well, no, not during the pandemic and not when you're a women-led work organization. So it was a very organic, thousands of people contacted and met with, and we had event after event. So we raised $30 million, which is what we needed to hit in order for the regulators to say, now you can open the bank. But at the end of the day, we were closer to $44 million because people came on board. And we're very thankful for that. It's put us in a position to be able to grow the bank safely and soundly. Capital and raising the money to open the bank is a huge feat. But now people are talking about bank and bank capital ratios because of everything that's happening in the industry. So we're strong and we're safe and we're in a great position to grow.
Yeah, I saw that you had like a huge, you overdid your budget. So I was curious as to what that story was.
Well, lots of hard work, lots of great board members and networking. And also, I think part of the timing was right because it's really about people, you know, they say vote with your feet or vote with your money. And it was people who invested in us are primarily women, obviously, but also people who said, I want to be part of building a different legacy for my children or my grandchildren or making a change in who is in charge in financial services so that it becomes really a more collaborative or fair access to capital environment.
And you kind of touched on talent earlier, which is also something I wanted to talk about. What are you doing to attract talent and what are you doing to keep it?
Attracting talent is talking a lot about who we are and where we're going. And that's been very helpful for our team as we stand today. Definitely there's an adjustment for us because as a startup, while we love remote work, and in my past life, I've been a huge proponent of remote work, there's certain things you just have to talk to each other and do in person when you're a startup bank. And so that's been one of the challenges that we've had to work around to keep people here. We think we have a pretty great benefit package, and we've tried to be sort of above the industry in what we offer in terms of benefits and optional benefits for our people. Also working on building who our culture is or what our culture is. Don't just open the doors and have a culture. And so as we're creating the culture, really talk a lot about the collaborative environment. Our generational dream teams, which I think is a different thing than most companies have, but we've built from the very beginning, tried to partner old bankers like me. They tell everybody it takes old gray-haired bankers to get a bank approved. And then the challenge is to have the right young team to take you forward. And so we've made a point of partnering. We call them generational dream teams. So older bankers with younger bankers to help them see that there's a place to go in their career. And so we fully expected the older generation to be mentoring the younger generation. But the really fun part is when we see it coming back to us. I've learned so much from some of our young team members. And really, there's been times when their perspective has given me pause and helps me to make a different decision. And so that willingness to mentor or have the relationship back and forth, I think, creates a unique culture here that I hope continues to attract people and get them to stay.
Next, Lauren Sparks shares how she not only attracts, but keeps top talent when Texas Business Minds continues.
At Texas Mutual, we know the importance of protecting your employees on the road. We create driving safety programs to help keep your people and your bottom line safe. Together, we can reduce driving accidents and drive Texas business forward. Business is safer, stronger, better with Texas Mutual.
At Independent Financial, we know you work hard for your business. That's why we work hard for you. Ready to get down to business? Let's talk at ifinancial.com/business. Independent Financial. Banking for business. Banking for life.
You mentioned trying to stay competitive with benefits. What are some things that you do that Agility Bank does to make those benefits competitive?
Well, we've found a really great opportunity. I never knew about this before we started looking at benefits for the bank last year. And it's a woman-led company that started here in Houston that called Next Level Prime. And they've just had a great concept where for a very nominal monthly fee, our employees have access to urgent care clinics. But not only that, they can also go there for their GP, their regular care. They can make normal appointments. They can have follow-ups on things. And all that can happen in any kind of after-hours environment. They can, in those urgent care clinics, they can go to the front of the line. They can make appointments. They can do telemedicine. And it's a great add-on. I know I took advantage of it, which I was surprised. But what I've heard back from our staff is, you know, the kids get sick on the weekend. And that's when they need to see somebody. Mm-hmm. And so this is just a great option for them to care for their families. I mean, that's what people care about. We all care. We all care about our families. So we care about the things that are important to us. And so that sounded like just a really simple way to create another opportunity for our staff to have wellness and less stress.
What are some of the things that are keeping you up at night as, you know, leader of a community bank?
It's been an interesting time in banking. And so as I had a great opportunity, we have some fantastic other banks that have partnered with us because we're this unique minority depository institution. Some of the bigger financial institutions are our partners to help us have an impact in the community. And that's fantastic. But one of them from probably the largest bank in the United States said to me, "Well, Lauren, you organized the bank during a pandemic and you opened to a recession. And now you're celebrating your 1 year anniversary with a banking crisis. How does it feel?" And I said, "Well, how do you think it feels? It's been a rough road." But the point is, we're a community bank. And so we don't reverberate to those Wall Street changes quite the same way. We're just keeping on doing what we do, following the rules, being well capitalized. But what keeps me up is the misperception out there about banks, that people don't understand that there's 5,000 banks in the United States and probably 4,900 of them follow the rules. And the other ones set a bad tone or make reckless decisions, and we're all not bad. So it's been a tough time for us to stand here as the new kid on the block and say, "Look, we're really a safe, good place for you and your business to bank." But I just heard an interview with Sheila Bair, who used to run the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, that insures our deposits for all of our banks. And she made some great statements. She said, "We just need to change what's out there in the media that the majority of community banks and regional banks are extremely safe and healthy, and this is a good banking environment. We just have to get people to stop creating problems where there are none. And so that keeps me up at night, because I feel bad that people who don't understand banking have fear in a situation where there should be none. That's what keeps me up at night. I feel bad. How do you get people to realize that we're in a good industry, we're in a good environment? Yeah, the economy's having some issues, and yes, there's some banks that didn't do what they were supposed to do, but by and large, community banks are a very safe place, and they're here to help you. They're not here to hurt you. So it's just I feel bad about that. It really does bother me.
Yeah. What is Agility Bank doing to change that perception?
Well, we talk to people who want to hear from us, for our shareholders, and our clients. We do a lot of communication. We're primarily a digital bank, so we send emails and we send out notices, and we try to make sure that people who want any information, they pick up the phone and they call us. I've done a lot of outreach to our clients saying, are you okay? Is there anything you want to talk about? Because that's what we're here for. We're your partner. So on that level, we've done that. I mean, in the slew of the 5,000 banks in the United States, we're not a large one. So most people don't ask my opinion about it. So thank you for asking.
Of course. Yeah. I was curious as to what outreach looks like. How do you have those conversations with clients and, you know, comfort them?
Well, we're pretty basic. You pick up the phone and call them. I did, after Silicon Valley Bank issue, I probably made 25 calls in a couple of days just saying, hey, we're here if anything you want to know. And then we just luckily had our annual shareholder meeting, so we were able to talk about that with shareholders that came. We had about 120 shareholders, I think, that came, which is a pretty big number for a community bank. And we were able to just have those conversations then. So, and when clients are here in the lobby, so we have a lobby. People come in, so there's some bank people who like to bank that way. So we talk about whatever they want to talk about. But again, a lot of our clients are in a digital environment because they're primarily digital, and they know where to find us. They know where to find me. So it's really, I think a lot of it's being accessible.
And so how do you think these bigger bank failures, you mentioned Silicon Valley Bank, how do you think these bigger bank failures are going to impact community banks like yours?
Well, on the positive note, it gave us some clients. We had some people call us to say, hey, can you handle our business? And we said, of course we can. So that was a nice note. It's the fear factor that's hard to explain to people. When you know, it's the difference between how people handle their business. If you probably have friends and you know people who run businesses who are very risk averse. They're very conservative. And most banks are that way and have to be that way to follow the rules. And then I'm sure you know people who go to Vegas and gamble a lot and may not have that money to lose. Of course, there's a couple banks like that. And eventually, had there not been such a social media conversation about it and therefore a run on the banks, those banks would have resolved through the regulatory process. I think that's something that's I wish people knew as well, that if you let the regulatory process roll out, those crises would not have happened at those individual banks.
You mentioned opening during a recession. How does being a recently formed bank kind of put you in a different position to weather the financial storms that we're kind of wading through?
Well, we have a lot of capital sitting here waiting to deploy. So we get to pick and choose the loans we make and the business we do. So it puts us in a great position of dealing from strength. We don't have to make loans. We're not feeding the monster kind of a cycle that another financial institution might be in that would cause them to make different decisions. So we can just make very sound and prudent decisions as we grow the bank. And of course we would anyway, that's our business plan and that's who our regulators expect us to be. But also out of disruption comes opportunity. And so that's been really what we've talked about all along, even during COVID, when we were talking to people about, hey, we're opening this bank. And women are going to run it. Women are going to be in charge, but we're a bank for everyone. And I know we probably, some people looked at us like we were crazy, but out of disruption comes opportunity. And there's always a good time to do good business. And so when you've built the right team and you have the right vision, there's always a good time to do good business.
What advice do you have for those interested in entering the banking sector?
I hope more and more young people do, because especially in the community banking environment, you have an opportunity to be involved in the decision-making process. You get to see the impact you have directly on a business owner or on a client. And especially in a bank like ours that's a de novo or a new bank, you create your own opportunity. You create your own future. You come in at the ground floor. You learn more about banking than you ever could have in a larger institution. And you can choose the direction you want to go in. It's harder and harder to find bankers who understand the interconnectedness of what happens in banking. Small banks allow you that opportunity. But this is one of our selling points for people now is you're coming in the door as we're building the bank. You're helping us make decisions that create our future. And how many times you get that opportunity in the job? Not always. And so it's a really great time to come into banking because there's the need for young people who understand the digital world, because we're a digital bank, and can learn that and move forward with us. I read a great study the other day that was talking about how do you get banks to become more progressive and more digital? How do you train bankers to be digitally oriented? It's hard to do because bankers are usually very black and white and think a certain way. They've done studies and they found that it's easier to take digitally minded people and teach them how to be bankers. And so that's what we're looking for, is digitally minded people who want to be part of what banking is becoming in the future.
What would you say is what's next for Agility Bank?
Well, year number two. So we get to keep building on what we built in year number one, which means we'll expand some of our products and services. We'll expand to another location, a loan production office. That'll be a little in our existing footprint, but Houston is so big, it'll give us a little more location orientation and serve a segment of our shareholders. So we're excited about that. Those are just some simple things that are happening this year. But we really look forward to meeting and exceeding the numbers that we put forth in our application that allowed us to be approved as a bank. So we fully expect to keep growing the bank and enhancing not only just the client relationships we have with the people in the business community here, but because we're this minority depository institution, our partnerships with some of the other financial institutions have created some really neat opportunities for us that we can deliver for our clients. So at the end of the day, in year two, our goal is to have a more tangible expression of who we are and our mission for creating access to capital for women-owned businesses, and what's really become minority-owned businesses is our focus here in this market in Houston.
Thanks to Agility Bank founder and CEO Lauren Sparks for joining us. And thank you for downloading Texas Business Minds, presented by the Business Journals of Texas and brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping companies build a stronger, safer Texas. And by Independent Financial, banking for business, banking for life. Learn more at ifinancial.com.